Welcome to the CLS Experience. I'm your host, Craig Siegel. I'm a born and raised New Yorker who achieved success with multiple businesses, but I crave something deeper. So I dedicated myself to personal growth and transformation by revamping my mindset. I went from being unable to run a mile to conquering four marathons the following year. Now, I want to help others manufacture big breakthroughs of their own.
Often a lot of people don't know that we all have inner leaders within us and we have that potential within us. We just kind of see what people are doing and going, oh, that's amazing for them. They must have known this mythical, mystical thing. It's just natural ability that no one else can touch. And I tell you what, man, I've interviewed hundreds and hundreds of super successful people. Every single person has had to figure it out along the way. And they're still figuring it out, just like you and me, man. We just keep putting the pieces together.
On today's episode of the CLS Experience, we have a very special treat. He's a coach, a speaker, a visionary, a juggernaut. He's been my silent mentor for quite some time. He's the founder of the world-famous motivational site Addicted to Success, which has generated north of over 300 million views. Please welcome Joel Brown. How you doing, my man?
Craig, thank you so much, man, for bringing me into the experience. I love the name of your podcast, The Experience, you know, because that's what we do, bro. We get to experience something amazing in our life that has transformed our life. And then through our platforms, now we get to bring people into that experience as well to live a better life. So love the name, bro. Checked out your content. I love what you're up to. You're all about leadership and getting good content out there and really just connecting and meeting people where they're at and transforming their lives. So much respect.
Thank you so much for saying that, my man. And you have no idea how big of a fan I am of you. And I can guarantee you this, we will manufacture magic together here today.
I love that word, bro. I love it. Manufacture. Let's do it, bro. We're born creators, created by a creator that has given us so much to step into. So I'm excited to be here, bro.
I love that. And let me go right in with that. The thing that I love about you, besides the obvious, is that you and I are cut from the same cloth, Joel. And I think one of the things that really resonates with me about you is the fact that you were going a different route, you know, into your early adulthood, but you felt a little bit of unfulfillment and you realized that there was something more out there for you, more of an impact to make on this world. And then you pivoted. And obviously, deep down in your core, you were always gravitating towards self-help and motivational stuff and just wanting to better yourself. Did you have this from an early age?
Yeah, you know, ever since I watched this movie, this is as far back as I can remember. And I want you to think about this too. When was the first time that you ever felt inspired to follow your dreams? What movie did you watch? What book did you read? Like, I want you to really think about that if you're listening to this right now. Maybe Craig, you could even share with us as well. But the first time that I ever felt inspired to follow my dreams was when I watched this movie where Bugs Bunny teamed up with Michael Jordan to kick the monster's ass in the hit movie Space Jam.
Space Jam. What a classic.
Yeah. I just remember just feeling like, mom, I remember going and saying to her, mom, I want to be like Mike, you know, I want to play ball. And, you know, I just thought about, you know, how cool it would be to be in the NBA. And when I went to her and said, like, I'm ready to do this, I'm willing to step in, whatever it takes. She said, well, you got to learn from Michael. And I said, well, I don't know Michael. You know, he's all the way out there in America. I was in Australia at the time.
Right.
She laughed and she said, well, you can learn with him through books. So she bought me this book called Rare Air, and it was a biography about Michael Jordan. I remember taking it to school every day. It ended up getting taken off me like four or five times. And I was just so distracted from that. Like, I didn't want to do my schoolwork. I just was so obsessed with, like, how do I be like Michael? What does he do? Like, what are his habits? Who does he surround himself with? What makes him different? Because I had this, I'd say this, like, this view, right, within my mindset, where I think, look, you've got someone there that's he's 6'6", right? So he's not necessarily the tallest player in the NBA. He's kind of up there. And you look at him and he actually wasn't even the strongest. His muscle size wasn't as big as a lot of the other players. But I'd see him and I think to myself, like, man, what makes this guy the best in the league? Like, what makes him the best? And I imagine with my little, like, you know, 7-year-old brain, like zooming in and having like this like x-ray kind of vision of like all these players. I'm like, they've got all got beating hearts, they've got, you know, bones in their body and all that, right? Like they're just like you and me, but there's something that they know. And I just had that from a very young age of feeling like, hey, if somebody else can do it, there's a way that I can do it. And little did I know that in life, you don't necessarily stick to that one passion. You know, I went all in. I actually got really good at basketball. I was playing state when I was younger. And then I ended up moving on and getting into the music industry. And then from the music industry, moving into what I do now. But what's really cool is that you can take your resources and your lessons and the things you've gleaned from your past in order to utilize it as tools for the future.
And you mold yourself.
So it was a huge thing.
Yeah. And I love that you said that because, you know, I studied all these mindset tweaks and NLP for years. And one of the things that really got me to build this Craig 2.0 persona that's speaking to you here today is the fact of modeling. And like you did with Michael Jordan, I did with so many greats. And Michael Jordan, you know, I was a big fan of his, who wasn't back in the day as well, and some of the other greats. But just to take some attributes from them, obviously people that, you know, for the audience that's listening, this is so valuable to find attributes on people that you hold in high regard and what makes them tick. Because it's like Joel said, Michael Jordan wasn't the tallest. He wasn't the strongest, probably not the most talented. But what he does have is that killer instinct and that mindset that's second to none. And you can build this and then you can start to mold yourself and that'll rub off on you and it'll help you in all areas of life.
1,000%, man. 1,000%. Attributes, I like that. That's what it is. And the coolest thing about this is that it's not necessarily that you're looking up to somebody. And I live by this rule. My mentor, Dr. John DeMartini, shared this with me a while back. And he said, you know, this whole pedestaling thing that we do is we tend to like raise people so far up that we let ourselves off the hook and say that person's the only person that's available for greatness in that field. And it's so not true. You know, I think when you look at someone, not look up to, but look at them and see like, where is the greatness that lies within them?
Yes.
And where and what and how and why and all those other like great, deep, powerful, you know, down the rabbit hole kind of questions we can go to extract that and say, where is that in me? Because it's somewhere in there. Our potential, bro, we're not tapping fully into our potential. We have Greek philosophy in our culture. And, you know, there's some good things and some bad things about that, because back in the day, they used to profile leaders as you've got to look a certain way.
Sure.
If you have light skin, you have a, you know, a pointy nose, you have light colored hair, then you're a leader. That's how they used to class leaders. And so everybody else essentially is lower class or a slave.
Yep.
And we've brought that into our society. And little do we know, we still kind of live by it. We don't know why we're living by that, but often a lot of people don't know that we all have inner leaders within us and we have that potential within us. So we play small, man. A lot of us play small. We just kind of see what people are doing and going, oh, that's amazing for them. They must have known this mythical, mystical thing. It's just natural ability that no one else can touch. And I tell you what, man, I've interviewed hundreds and hundreds of super successful people. There's not one that has said that they feel like they're just like genetically gifted and just given natural abilities and they haven't had to work hard for it. Every single person has had to figure it out along the way. And they're still figuring it out, just like you and me, man. We just keep putting the pieces together.
Sure. And one of the things that you just said that triggered something in me that is fun to think about is you said rabbit hole. And for me, when I first got to Wall Street after college, and that's kind of when I started to revamp my mindset and become really a grown man. And then ultimately throughout my journey, that would lead me to what I'm doing now, which is my purpose and helping people and inspiring people. But I would go down the rabbit hole, as I like to say, with sharpening the axe. And what that means to me is just reading and researching and journaling and finding out what makes these exceptional people tick. What is it about them? What makes them so great? What is it? And it's like you just said, can you relate to that? Going down the rabbit hole and really trying to dive deep into what makes these people so phenomenal at what they do?
Bro, this is my life. This is what I'm signed up to, man. This is it. Like, I was talking to my copywriter the other day. I said, dude, because I'm researching a lot right now. I'm piecing a lot of things together. I'm writing my book. And
nice.
He's like, how you feeling? I said, dude, I feel like the Indiana Jones of self-development right now. Digging for the wisdom, you know, getting myself into some spaces that are probably going to, you know, if I'm not careful, could complicate my life even more. So there's just so much out there.
So much.
What I'm really fascinated by is what we've already been gifted with. And it's just a remembering that so much has already been instilled within us. And I think that, you know, society, bro, you look at society, the way we have programs, you study NLP and you see it, right? You see, even in the research and study around NLP, is that our minds are phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
And there's so much we can shift. We can create disassociations from things that aren't serving us. There's ways to transform our perceptions. There's ways to set our brain into a non-stressful state. There's just so much that we can do to tap into creation. And in that process, what we discover is that a lot of the stuff that's out there is hogwash. A lot of it is just layered upon layered upon layered fabricated nonsense that is misleading so many. And you don't even have to look that far. You put the TV on and you see the news and media. The mainstream media is just a bunch of junk food for the brain.
Yeah.
You know, and it very much has an agenda. And so we're living in a space where you got to be careful of playing the game, you know, the game that's been designed for us to be in, which ultimately doesn't really take us into our full purpose. Maybe we can just get by with it in life, but, you know, by following the game that's being played right now in social media, through society, through, you know, the way that we're supposed to do education and everything else, 10 years time, we get down the line and we realize like, hey, I'm nowhere near my 10-year vision that I casted here. It's because you've been playing the game. You haven't been playing your game.
It reminds me of the movie The Matrix. Your lane,
you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. The thing is, bro, the name of the game is stay in your lane the longest. Whoever stays in their lane the longest wins. It's quite simple.
I love that. No, it's so deep. It's so powerful. And you speak in my language, my man. As you can see, you'd have to surgically remove the smile from my face. Just to go back for a second just so the audience can play a little catch-up. You were originally... A little bit way back, you were in Miami doing the music thing, and it was pretty cool, and you were having some success, but it wasn't fulfilling that burning desire in you, and it was about this time that you went back to Australia to kind of find yourself. Is that accurate, Joel?
Yes. Yeah, it was, for sure. You know, I kept pushing. You know, when you have that feeling within, and for me, it was this feeling of coming out of alignment from my God-given purpose. And I had the whispers of wisdom.
I've heard you say that before. It's like,
you know, the tap on the shoulder from God saying, hey, it's time to turn the steering wheel now. We're going this way. And I had that tap on the shoulder for like 3 months straight till I was like, okay, I surrender. I pay attention to this. Let's go. the reason being is because, you know, we're at red carpet events. We were in the studio with people like Pitbull and Usher and, you know, Kelly Rowland, and working on tracks with like Ludacris, and my producers ended up working with, you know, Kanye West and A$AP Rocky. You know, we had some big things happening. And I spent from the age of like around 12, 13, all the way to 21, 22, in this, like achieving the vision that I had set at that time. And I think the hard part was learning to trust myself and learning to trust God and listening to that guidance of like, hey, there's more here. And what's really interesting is my friend at the time, who I was managing as a producer, when I stepped back, he took it personally. And I understand why, because it was like, how do you understand someone's vision when they're just sharing like this, like, I don't know where I'm at right now, but I need to go back to Australia and we need to work. I'm going to work this out. And I have everyone around me projecting doubt and saying like, are you sure? Are you sure? Like, what if it's not and all that, right? And it was only about 6 months back, my friend reached out to me and he said, man, I see why you made that decision now, you know? And that was like 12 years ago.
Wow.
And it was cool, man. When I got the message, I was just like, man, he's come around. And dude, I've done this in my life too, like not understanding someone's vision, not understanding where they're at. I'm sure you have too.
Yeah.
And that's what it is just really giving each other grace, man, and knowing that we're all on a journey. And I officially stepped in and wrote my own permission slip and said, I'm ready to move in this direction. And a lot of even what I do now is learning to trust myself. And I find that a lot of people that are tangled up in life that have this dream, but they're not stepping into it, it's because they don't trust themselves, man. They don't trust that they have the resources within them and around them to make it possible.
This is awesome.
And they're scared of making mistakes. You know, like, they have this fear of making mistakes, because if they make a mistake, then it's considered to be that they're not good enough. And if they're not good enough, it reinforces the BS story that this goal or vision isn't for them. When truly in their soul is going, go for that damn goal and vision, make it possible, right?
Absolutely.
And that was me just really paying attention to that soul screaming and the whispers of God going like, go, go, go. Man, I do that on the regular now. And all it's done is just made, you know, my achievements jump in leaps and bounds. So, you know, take heed and bring that upon yourself too.
That's it. And Joel, the same thing happened to me when I left my business, which I own, is doing very well. But when the pandemic happened is when I received those whispers and God tapped me on the shoulder and the stars aligned for me. And it was like, of course, Craig, you've always been the guy to go to for inspiration and motivation. You help people want to become better. And then I started running with Cultivate Lasting Symphony, obviously CLS, which is a play on my initials, and the rest is history. But one thing that you said earlier, which I think is so special for the audience and so valuable, when you left to go do this thing and really follow your passion and more importantly, your purpose, did you have this mentality? Because this is what I had, and I try to teach my clients as well. The fear of not taking that shot at life and following this intuition and these whispers, the fear of going down the same lane that you were going in unfulfilled is more terrifying than taking this shot at life, which is unpredictable and there's no guarantee, but you know you're resourceful and you'll make it work. The fear of not taking that shot has to outweigh the fear of the unknown. Would you agree?
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of where I got my inspiration, I'll break it down real quick. There's a very big story around it. And I think for today, like we're going to keep it punchy. Throughout high school, I was bullied, right? And it got to a point where I just snapped and turned around. And one day I went to the group of bullies and I said, you and me, let's do this because I'm done. You know, it was like, I was bullied for like 3 years straight, 4 years straight. And so it turned into this big fight. But it didn't happen then. It was premeditated and they tapped me on the shoulder when I was by myself and it turned into this massive punch out. And my school shirt, white school shirt, was covered in blood. You know, my teeth were busted. My face was split open. It was messy. And it took like 15 minutes for the teachers to even break up the fight. So wow. I went through a whole process with that and left school. You know, I'm a high school dropout. And what I took with that was this, like, I'm at the center point of this road right now. And there's either the left to me is victim and the right to me is victor, or what I yes. thought was victor at the time. And I was like, I'm going to take victor and I'm going to crush it. And my success in the music space is very much driven by, you know, I'll prove them wrong. I wasn't beaten, you know, and I carried that with me. And, you know, to a certain degree, that pushes you through. But I needed a lot of courage to continue to keep that up because it was coming from a place of force. But when I left the music industry, once that feeling of that force expired within me and I was exhausted, I sat down in a sales room that I was in when I got back to Australia and was working for a sales company. And standing before me was a guy that talked very similar to you. He had a very similar accent.
I know who you're going to say.
And he had a nice silver shiny watch on. He had the polished shoes and he had the white button-up shirt. And he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, today I'll be teaching you how to become a force to be reckoned with." It's probably not like that accent, but I'm probably getting close.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, he says, "When you live in your vision, you can achieve anything and anything is possible." He says, "Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jordan Belfort, the Wolf of Wall Street." And this isn't Leonardo DiCaprio. This is the original Wolf of Wall Street, right? And so the thing that I learned from Jordan, I wouldn't say that I agree with everything in the way that he has operated in time, but at the time when I was there with him and he was at the front of the room, I remember this feeling of sitting there in this chair like 12 and a half years back, just looking and just going like, man, the way that he commands a room and the way that he shares the knowledge that he's learned that's helped him in his life, like I know that that's in me. Like I felt so connected to it that I think if you really want to pay attention to what it is that you're here to do when it comes to your purpose, when you find yourself sitting in moments of long presence and massive awareness, there's something there. There's a sign, right?
I love that.
We did a 2-day workshop. Bro, I had never been that engaged with a conversation and written as much as I did in one sitting, because remember, I dropped out of high school. For me to sit and just not be distracted with bullies and to not have this negative association of like writing things down and actually doing things, because I fully disconnected from that idea, that like hit me like a ton of bricks. And I realized like, wow, this here is what I'm here to do, you know? So I want you right now to think about like, where are those moments in your life where you paid full attention, where you have full engagement, where it was of your highest values, you know? And then from there, create from that space, because that space there is no longer force. It's power. It comes from creation. It's what God's given us to do, is to come from that understanding, that joy in the mission, that peace, that you feel like you're in that peace and that flow because you're finally creating what you're here to do.
Free and light.
And that's what I felt. And I realized, yeah, bro, I realized that I was no longer trying to rely on external motivation to light me up, which is very short-lived. I had internal inspiration. I had the torch from within that was lit. Inspiration means to be in spirit. I was inspired from within. And I realized in that moment, wow, now I'm standing in power.
Oh, yes.
And I've been standing in it, man. There's no force anymore. It's power and it's inspiration, not desperation.
And that's huge for the audience, because what Joel's saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, inspiration and motivation is temporary. Anybody can watch a good Rocky movie, get excited, and work out for a couple of days. But when you're in that position of power and you're aligned and you find your true purpose, that's life lasting. That ain't going anywhere.
Absolutely, man. You know what? I have this kind of recipe that I live by myself, and I teach a lot of my students, is inspiration plus integration within your committed vision equals transformation. You know, because, and I say integration because this is what it is that most people are possessed by ideas. They haven't fully integrated it within themselves. You know, like I can watch a Tony Robbins video and say like, oh yeah, well that makes sense. And I can, you know, stand there in front of you and share it with you. That means that I have understanding, and there's three levels to learning. The first level is knowledge, which is listening to this podcast, is reading a book, checking out some articles on websites, right? That's knowledge. The second level is understanding, where we can share it with a room full of people and the people go, oh, cool, I get what he's saying or she's saying, right? The third level, which is the ultimate, is wisdom. Wisdom is when you've embodied it, you've lived it, you've breathed it, you've fully integrated it. It's cellular within your system. And the cool thing about that, Craig, and for everyone here is listening right now, is that no one can take that away from you. That's your story. That's your wisdom. That's your value. That's your skill set. That's your whatever you've worked for in that process to obtain. That's your experience that no one gets to take away from you.
There's that word again, experience. I love this. This is really powerful. And for the audience listening, this is everything. From there, Joel, I have to ask you, because the world wants to know if they don't already, where did you come up with the name and when did that come to fruition? Addicted to Success, which would obviously launch you to where you are today eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when I sat down that day in the room with Jordan, something clicked within me, man. I wouldn't say that it was something specifically that he said. It was just more like being in this like super high energetic moment of feeling super inspired. At the start, I'm not going to lie, when I started to write out my 10-year vision, he's like, write your 10 years and we reverse engineer it back to this current day.
I love that.
And write in as much detail as possible, which is really cool. It's a cool way to do it because we're so used to just thinking forward. He's like, start forward and come back.
It's so effective.
Yeah, for sure. So I started writing it out, and it was kind of tough at the start because I'm kind of going through my beliefs. So like, is it possible? Am I, you know, wise enough to this yet? Like, oh, maybe I don't have the skills yet and so on. But I wrote it and went like, let's just write it and have fun with it. And I got to the point where I just could not stop writing. I was writing and writing and writing and writing. And in that writing, in that moment of flow where it's this like connection to God, and it's this like, you know, this information is flying through me as the dots are connecting and going like, this makes so much sense, was that I realized that in order to really have bigger impact, we must create a movement. You know, yeah. Like the experience that you have here with your podcast and with your brand, you're creating a movement around this.
That's right.
And the ideas and the philosophies and all of those, you know, concepts for a better life and the possibility that's in it, you want to create a movement around this because it's about attracting your tribe, right? And I realized that I was playing the long game. I was ready to wife this damn thing. You know, I was like, I'm in it. I'm committed, ready to go. And it's really cool because when I had a conversation with Tony Robbins, he was saying a similar thing. He said, Joel, you know, so many people dabble. He said, it's about mastery. And this was something that him and I really vibed on. And he said, he's like, man, I can tell that you're committed to that. He said, there's a difference that you can feel within an energy of somebody, whether they're just like playing around or if actually ready to stay.
Correct.
And he said, if you stay in the game for at least a 10-year minimum, your name will ring bells. You know, you rise to the top. And that's what people are really like looking for, is who are the people that are really committed to the game. And all my students that I coach, if they're ready to become a coach or, you know, build upon their brands, I ask them, are you ready to do this for at least a 10-year minimum? And for me, I realized, like, in order to really attract the right type of people from the very beginning, we must create a movement around this. And I wrote, you know, a number of different names down, but ultimately it was like, what's my philosophy? Like, what really lights me up and where am I at? Because it needs to emanate from me as the hub. And it was like, you know, relentless pursuit for success. It was inspired from within. It was never giving up. It was never settling. And from that, it was like, man, I have this obsession with success. I'm addicted to it. So I wrote addicted T-O success. And
not a bad thing to be addicted to.
Yeah. That name was taken. So I ended up going and registering addicted2success.com. And I reached out to the guy that owned Addicted TO Success. And at the time he said, you know, it's $3,000 to buy the domain. And I was like, oh, you know, like at the time I didn't have that money. I was just building upon what I had. And then I came back 2 years later and bought it off him for like $5,000.
Really?
Price went up, man. He knew who I was by that point. He did his research. So, you know, that's the game, bro. That's the game.
No, and I love everything that you're saying, because specifically you gravitated towards this whole thing, but it wasn't just Joel. This was a movement, and you wanted people to embody this and people to get on board. And this was bigger than just you, like you said. And it's kind of similar to what I started with the CLS thing. Addicted to Success was essentially a symbol, almost like Batman is a symbol for Gotham City. You represented hope, faith, transformation for everybody to want to get on fire. And I love that about you.
Yeah, it is. It's true. It's true. It's what it represents. And there's a really great distinction that you brushed upon there. And that is that if I'm just to make my vision just about me, then ultimately all it really is a personal ambition, which is great, because some people that haven't been ambitious need to step in and practice that personal ambition and achieving. But ultimately, it's not your purpose unless it's about serving others as well that comes along with that. I really do believe that we're all here to serve one another.
Sure.
And if you're not, it's just here for your own selfish reasons. So we get to play the game of doing both. You know, like when I teach people how to map out their visions, when I do it even myself, I have my splurge in there. You know, I have the material things that I'd like and the location I desire to live and the great experiences. And on top of it, it also has that service to others. It has that where I'm holding myself when it comes to standards as a leader in contribution, you know. So yeah, man, this is what it's about. Is I had a conversation recently with someone and I was like, you know, there's a lot of confusing how-tos out there and principles for life. There's a lot. And we haven't really ironed it down to get really specific on like what works best for you. But I asked them, if you had your ultimate question, what would it be? And they were just sitting there scratching their head for a while. And I guided them through it and I asked them, what do you think the goal is in life? And Craig, I'm going to ask you this too. What do you think the goal is for us humans in life?
You know, it's a great question. For me, I want to leave a legacy that people can look back on and feel inspired and wanted to better themselves and really wanted to make the most out of life. And I'm here to serve and I want to help everybody feel their potential, but in the most selfless way. I just want to do good and for people to achieve happiness and fulfill their passion and purpose. It's a great question.
If we're to go a layer deeper, why is that important to you?
It's important to me because I want people to be happy. And I know that I struggled for a while myself in terms of my mentality and where I was and being unfulfilled. And if there's anything that I can do to prevent people from going through that, then make the world a little bit better of a place, as cliche as that might sound.
Yeah, I love this, man. So this is what it is, right? When I coach, often what we do is we come into, it's called principle coaching. And there's principles in this world. You have like universal laws, principles. A principle is a universal law that describes the fundamental nature of something, right? It's the universal properties and the relationships between things.
Yep.
Or it's a description that purports to explain that these laws are part of this relationship within us. And so one of the principles that I live by is that our chief goal as humans in life is to live fulfilled, right? It's fulfillment. And often when I have conversations with my clients and students and we get down to it, I ask them if they're like struggling to make a decision or they're going through an experience and we've been working through some things, I ask them, do you feel fulfilled in this? And they're like, and I go, it's yes or no. And it's like, listen to your gut. What is it? Do you feel fulfilled? And very quickly when I get them into that, come on, fulfilled, yes or no? They're like, great, dude, you'd be surprised how many people aren't fulfilled. And that's why half the time they're coming to me, because they just don't feel fulfilled. Likewise. And they're trying to put their finger on it. And they don't want to avoid the fact that like there's a big decision they need to make. Maybe they need to, you know, leave a relationship. Maybe it's about actually packing their bags and moving to a new physical environment, because our physical environment has a 40% effect on our mental state.
Absolutely.
Right? It's not to say we have to run from everything, face it, accept it, and then it's time to switch things up, right? And so I really love these principles, because you can't take that away. Like ultimately, even what you were saying is, I asked you like, well, why do you want to impact and why do you want to serve? And you said you want to see people happy because you know the importance of it, because you weren't at one point. That's fulfillment. Right. For me, the reason why I live in my vision is because it makes me feel alive. You know, I love creating. That's my inspiration, is to create, because I love expressing and multiplying and scaling and impacting. But I love that because it makes me feel like my cup is being filled. So if there's anything you take away from this call today, this episode today, is just to really think about, like, if you were to write down, Let's explore the 8 categories of life. You have business and career. So like, if you've got a pad and a pen, write this down, note it into your phone, however you need to do it. You got business, career. Okay. The second one is wealth. Okay. Wealth, finances, right? The third one is relationships, romantic relationships, right? The next one is family and friends. That might trigger some people. Family, but the next one is fun and adventure.
Yep.
Okay. Then we have physical environment, which is what I touched on before. And we have, on top of that, we have self-development, and that could even be spiritual development as well. And then the final one is health.
I love how spiritual you are, by the way. Just had to say that.
What was that?
I love how spiritual you are.
Ah, thank you.
Everything,
man.
With the alignment, just speaking to you, it's very contagious.
Yeah, dude, that's what it's about, man. As we're being given the gift to be in connection with God, and a lot of people edge him out, and they wonder why their life feels so out of alignment, right?
Yep.
But if you have a look at these 8 categories, next to it, rate yourself from a scale of 1 to 10. How fulfilled are you in these categories? You know, because so often what we do is we try and work it all out in our head. We don't actually sit down and write it out and get clear to see it in front of us. And half the battle is the fact that we're coming against ourselves, that we're actually not on our own team. So when you write these categories out and you get really clear on what your scale is from 1 to 10, now the goal is to go, all right, I'm etching out 30 minutes a day to focus on one category at a time, to learn more about how to feel more fulfilled and to live more fulfilled in those categories. Because maybe for business and career, you're like, man, 10 out of 10.
Right.
But family and friends, maybe you've been pushing them out. You know, maybe it's not there. So then maybe what it means is for that half an hour, you reach out to a family member or you reach out to a friend for, you know, 10-minute conversation and sure, call 3 of them or whatever it is. And just do this for a week. You know, do this for a week. And then I want you to go back and then rate yourself again. Because a lot of the time what we do is we think that we can't have it all. You can have it all, just not all at once. So if we are doing this in a way where we set ourselves up for like, hey, this whole year for 12 months straight, I'm dedicated to really upping the numbers on the scale in each area of these areas of my life.
This is,
man,
great.
It's such a game changer, you know? And a lot of us are blocking ourselves from things in our life because we haven't forgiven ourselves or forgiven others for what we've experienced in that space. And that moment and that progress of forgiveness, when you're writing a forgiveness letter, you know, dear, I forgive you. I forgive you for the times that it's not about actually even just forgiving that person and saying it to that person. If you go to that level to say it, it's about the fact that you've accepted it within yourself.
Yep.
That you're no longer allowing it to have power over you, that you've met it where it's at and you've said, hey, I see you, I feel you, I hear you. And I'm no longer going to bring you with me because you don't serve me any longer. Right. So like just that clearing out, like letting go of that boulder from the past and moving forward.
The shackles on, remove those, as I like to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is awesome. I'm very selective and strict when using any types of products, period. However, the CLS experience is all about elevating your state and getting the mind right, as it is our biggest asset in life. Something I've incorporated into my life is CBD, specifically Sweat CBD. Just like this podcast, Sweat CBD is all about enhancing your state, designed to optimize your physical and mental well-being. I personally love their products, specifically the oil and the gummies. I've tried a few different CBD brands and products, and to me, this is the most natural feeling. I love their products and what the brand stands for. The founder of Sweat CBD is a dear friend of mine, and she's offering the entire audience, all the listeners, CLS Family and Universe, a special promo code. Enter CLSCBD at sweatcbd.com. Enjoy. I love you all. This is so powerful and deep, and especially what you just touched upon in terms of owning or making peace with the past. A lot of people carry that around with them, and it's very heavy, and it's hard for them to fly.
Yeah. Jordan Belfort shared with me, when I was mapping out my vision, when I was younger, I'd got into drugs and, you know, alcohol and just like crazy party life. And I held a bit of shame and guilt around it, you know, because I felt like I needed to be somebody that was in the light, that was inspiring, that had my life together in order to really do well in the space that I was creating with Addicted to Success as a speaker and as a coach. And I remember sitting there writing this out, but like feeling this pinch, like, oh man, do I really deserve this? And Jordan said something really profound that day in the room. He says, you are not your past. You are the lessons and the resources that you've gleaned from it. And I was like, wow.
That's
so
deep.
I wrote down just a quick list of like, what did I learn from those experiences and that I can translate and take with me today to make my life more powerful, to help me reach that level of fulfillment, right? And this is what we get to do, is that like, if we're looking at our past in shame and guilt, it's keeping us in the lower brackets of force. But when we move into the higher brackets, the higher frequency within us, of that understanding, that acceptance, that letting go, dude, that's a game changer, because now we're moving with power.
That's it. And what you just said is so key. And it's something that I always try to engrave and embody in my clients and students as well, is that the lessons, and I don't want to say mistakes or failures, but the things that we go through on our journey, we learn from them and then we carry them with us to new endeavors, regardless of what it is. There's always somewhere to apply it. And that makes it not a failure and not a mistake, because you could utilize it in different situations.
Yeah, it's definitely a lesson. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Man, my life, I tell you what, I live full throttle. So sometimes I have these like experiences that they come up, and I've got to the point where whenever something comes up that may feel like it's a challenge, I invite it. And often there will be a story that comes from it. There's a great profound pivot that comes into play. You know, even with business, we look at what's happened recently with COVID. You know, you said that you moved out of an old space and into a new. And when I speak at events, and this was even pre-COVID, I asked the room and I raised my hand and say, who here feels like right now they're in transition? And damn near 80 to 90% of the room raises their hand. And it doesn't matter how big the room is, it's always around that number. And so many of us are constantly just moving. We don't feel like we're in a place of like, I've got it all together. So the cool thing about that is that it means that there's more that we get to learn. And I want you to think like, hey, maybe you've done pretty good so far. Maybe you feel like within yourself, you could do a bit better. But what's really cool is the fact that what you've created so far in your life is nowhere near as amazing as what you get to create in your future. And that was really that strong driver that I held on to when I was really living in my vision, was, wow, man, if I have lived a pretty epic life so far, and I get to take the lessons and the resources and the tools and the wisdom and the network and all that with me to move to that next place, we can create some even higher level stuff.
I love that.
You know, so just grab it all and put it all together and really look at it for what it is and go like, what would I utilize here to create what I really desire to create in my heart, what my purpose is calling me to? Because bro, there's so many people that are sitting on their hands. And the cards are so heavily stacked in our favor, it's ridiculous. Like if you actually looked at like what's possible in life, there's possibility, opportunity passing us every day.
Abundance, I love it. Joel, I have to ask you, when you were building Addicted to Success, obviously it wasn't an overnight success, nothing really is. What was the mindset like? What was your perspective as you were going through it and you never lost sight of the vision, but maybe it didn't happen as fast as you'd like it to? What was the mindset like at that point to eventually get to where you are now?
I gotta be honest with you, bro. It actually happened pretty quickly. And that's because this is the reason. I saw nothing but the vision. You know, I was so dedicated to it. And that's the idea of writing the vision out in a way where you're so fired up and so it's so fun and exciting, is that what I loved about the vision, it wasn't necessarily just achieving the elements in my vision, even early. It was the fact that as I was taking step by step and committing to my vision and becoming a man of my word and following through on what I wrote down and said I was going to do, it built my confidence. Like I actually love the feeling of the fact that I was building my confidence because I was showing up.
This is
that
so relatable.
Was the journey, man. Like I expanded and transformed and integrated even more because I committed to the vision. The vision was teaching me how to become more within itself. And it was what I originally wrote down. And I wrote down in the moments of what inspired me most. So it was like a reflection of my purpose coming back into me to fire me up to continue to walk the path and to stay the course. This is what I was saying to you, like staying in the lane, right? Whoever stays in the lane longest wins. Staying the course. You know, like even in the New Testament, Paul, he's like, I've run my race. I've stayed the course. You know, one of the most epic disciples in the history of time that went out to the most unlikely places and spread the gospel and like ultimately became beheaded because of this. But he says right at the end, like I've run my race, you know, I've stayed the course. And when I remember reading that line, I was like, man, that's what it is that like, if we just like set our vision and we were open to the fact that we don't know everything and there's more to learn in the experience along the way that could expand us and being open to pivoting if need be, but within the vision of what it is that you're ultimately going for. For me, it was that ultimate impact was that, hey, self-development really moved the needle for me in my soul and in my heart. And if it did that for me, there's got to be people out there that this could help too. And so I was committed to getting this out to as many people as possible. That was the chief aim within it that ultimately led me to even more fulfillment because I was doing what I knew was serving more people and also kept me in creation and inspired.
I love that.
It's a win-win for everyone.
Win-win.
Right? There's a way to create a win-win for everyone.
Absolutely.
And you do it through your vision and committing to it.
Absolutely. Joel, everybody always asks me, and our stories are so similar, except I'm in the beginning stages, but my CLS, I'm very grateful to say, just like you just said, is taking off, you know, pretty fast, and I'm just humbled by the reaction. I think people can sense that I'm doing it for the right reasons, and it's a movement, and I want everybody to win, and I just want everyone to get on fire for life. People usually ask me, you know, who are some of my mentors or coaches, and you know, this is my answer, and then I want to ask you yours. The world has been my oyster. I've sharpened the axe. I've gotten inspiration from so many different places. You included, you've been one of my silent mentors. And just from books, from movies, I have so many different journals on my dining room table. Everyone's like, what's each journal for? All throughout the years, I'd be just jotting down notes, even unbelievable books. Instead of having to reread an entire book, I take certain notes, and I always go back to them. What are some inspirations that you had over the years that really drove you and fueled that fire?
You know, man, I've been on set with Tony Robbins. We're in a movie together called We Rise Up. He's a powerful dude. You know, he really does what he says he's going to do. He lives and breathes what he teaches. I've got a lot of respect for Tony. You know, I've hung out with Jack Canfield. He's kind of like a granddad that like he's got your back, you know, and he loves the younger generation. It was so cool to just really hear how much respect he has for each person and how willing he is to continue to grow and expand. So, you know, there's lots of books and there's lots of, you know, I've had mentors, Dr. John DeMartini, Lisa Nichols, Les Brown, Tony, even in the conversations that we've had. But I think some of the most profound moments have been in like these like quick 1 minute conversations in passing that have really pivoted. And my mom has played a really crucial part in my life. And I say that not in the sense like, oh, my mom, you know, thank her for bringing me into what. It's not about that. It's It's that, man, she, even if she didn't understand what I was doing, she always believed in me. She's like, you're going to make it. You'll find a way. I know you will. You know, like she had, there was just an encouragement of like, you're resourceful. You'll find a way to make it work. And she was just so supportive, even if she didn't understand it.
That support's key.
And yeah, man. And I would say the ultimate overall and everything, man, no one in this earth that I've experienced even touches this is Jesus, you know, studying the character of Jesus. This guy was, man, from 29 when he started his ministry to 33 and a half when he was hung on the cross. This guy was like a poor carpenter boy that recruited some of the most unlikely men, you know, fisherman, physician, tax collector, to go out there and to live and fulfill his mission. And he didn't just like walk the earth and do his thing. He was as courageous as a lion, but as compassionate and empathetic as a lamb. He's the ultimate leader. Right. And to be hung on the cross and to die and to be whipped where you see his ribs and they ripped his beard out and it like tortured all the way to the cross. And for him to say, Father, forgive them for they do not know. Like that's the ultimate love, man, is to come from that place still when everyone's throwing everything at you. It's insane to think like the courage in that, in his heart. And, you know, to this day, over 2 billion people worship him. You know, like,
this
I think
it's so crazy that you're saying this.
The other
right
day
now,
where someone says, you know, The Rock has like 200 million followers. It's like, wow, Jesus has got billions and billions over history. You know, so pretty epic stuff, man. Pretty epic stuff. And I look at it and I look at like, what's his leadership? Like, how did he show up? You know, not that he just spoke in parables and it was like a Rubik's Cube for those that are willing and open to understand and to be present, that wanted to use critical thinking and reasoning to see what was here. But the fact that he was just so in the depth of his soul and mission to the degree, like, and I'm not even saying this is even about religion, it's relationship with Christ. Like for me, I have my relationship with Christ. I take religion out the picture, you know, because I think religion is very much a man-made institution. It can separate and divide. I'm not about that. You know, it's like a lot of what we learn is you've got to climb the mountain to reach God. You've got to do all these things to win his love. Whereas Jesus came down the mountain to meet with us, to break bread with us, to teach us about relationship with him. And that was a game changer for me, man. I don't view God as a pagan God. I view God as a loving God that we get to have relationship and connection with. And he's instilled within each and every one of us purpose within our soul and has placed value in our heart. Your life has meaning. You're not here for just some random reason. You're not just randomly dancing with your DNA. You were brought into this world, into existence, from non-existence into existence for a reason.
It's so ironic that you just said that, my man, because I've recently been watching The Passion of the Christ a couple times in a row, which is a little bit weird for a guy like me, I'm a Jewish kid from Long Island, but it's because the story just really just hit me just recently, and I didn't even know all the details, but as you were just painting that picture, I was seeing that because I'd just been watching this movie the last couple of days. It's so crazy how aligned we are just there.
Dude, that's crazy. Watch a movie. It's on YouTube. You can just look it up. It's like a 2-hour movie. It's called The Gospel of John. Watch it because John was the closest to Jesus. He hung out with him the most. And the whole movie or that book is about the character of Jesus.
Okay.
So at least like watch it from a lens of like, hey, what can I learn from someone so powerful in his walk? And then just be open and see, like maybe there's some things you might not have considered. But dude, honestly, like that there for me is the massive piece that brought me into my ultimate power. And you know, I'm still obviously in the practice of it, like we all are. You know, no one's perfect in their walk. And honestly, bro, that there is like the glue that holds all of this together. And I've never felt this fulfilled in my life. I feel freaking amazing.
It's contagious. I can feel it.
And I trust, man. Trust and believe. Trust and believe. I'm there, bro.
I love it. And I have to ask you this, and then we'll end right here. You know, the podcast will probably typically ask you, I know you've done hundreds of these, you know, what advice do you have for the audience? I'm going to ask you something a little bit different, a little bit weird today. Because my situation, I didn't know exactly until speaking to you and building this rapport here today how similar our journeys are. But since I started my CLS journey, and it's kind of similar in the fact that it's a movement, I'm coaching clients, but you know, it continues to grow and to continue to grow. And ultimately, I want it to be the biggest thing ever, not for selfish reasons, just because I want to be able to reach the biggest audience possible and help everyone just reach their potential and get on absolute fire. What advice could you possibly give me, as I'm still on the early stages, but I've had a ton of success so far?
Yeah, great question, man. Great question. You know, what I see nowadays is there are a lot of people that are really inspired to be coaches and speakers. And I think that's great and it's powerful. That's where I was 12 years back. And my concern is that there's an illusion in the game. It's interesting, man, because it was so innocent back when I started. It wasn't really there. It was just like, hey, I'd love to be a coach and a speaker. And you'd have to get really resourceful to find like, okay, what events do I go to? Do I learn NLP? What books do I read? And then it was very much, you know, getting yourself out there, connecting with people, getting clients, getting testimonials and so on. And then it was building your career from that space. My concern is I see a lot of people that are more driven through status and significance and the like perception of I'm a coach rather than actually getting the results, right? And that's the difference between being big and being great. Being big is getting a ton of likes. It's getting, you know, a ton of followers on your account. Even if you've paid for like, you know, 50,000 followers from India or Russia or Korea or wherever people are getting them nowadays, which by the way is really terrible. Don't do that because it warps all your numbers. It distorts your projections of where your campaigns will be. It just throws you out. It's not a good idea. Not to mention it, like people know because they can see you got like 50,000 likes and you got like 3 comments. It's very obvious. but that's, and I get it. I get why people do that. It's because the social media is very much trying to indoctrinate within us that it's about being big. And that's what gets you the blue tick and gets you, you know, the sponsor deals and gets you clients. On the back end, what's even more important, if we look at more long game and actually staying in the game, like Tony Robbins and I were saying, was that it's about being great, and being great is getting people results, right? If I can facilitate transformation within the soul of a human being, when they come to me and realize that there is potential and they get a glimpse into how to shift in this potential and I support them in achieving their dreams, then I'm a coach. I'm getting them results.
Love that.
And so in saying that, you got to look at like, what are you offering? What you're offering, does that give results? Because a lot of people can even launch coaching programs and they can do masterminds and everything else, and people can come through them and they've paid for it, maybe 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, whatever it may be. They come into the program, but then in the program, they're just kind of going through the motions. And then when they leave on the back end, they're still essentially still a similar person to who they were. So they haven't really got results. What happens then is it taints the industry, and then people get skeptical about actually finding mentorship and coaching, which sucks. And then it makes it tougher for someone like you and me that's really focused on results to then have these conversations because people are kind of on their back foot. So I like to really look at it in a way where if we focus on getting results first and foremost, this is where our most important play will be.
Love that.
If I could create a system, you say the experience, I love that. Create an experience, a system, a formula, an experience that you invite people into. Hey, this is the experience that I had. The system that I've created is based off what I did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 years ago. And these are the steps I took. And these are the questions I asked. These are the frameworks that I applied to my life. These are the principles that I live with. And then if you were to come in and jump into the system and follow the sequence, because success is also a sequence, right? Follow the sequence, work through the frameworks I worked through, answer the questions I did, connect the dots in the way that I did and clear the past like I did. Here's what I see you achieving as a result. And then when people come into a system that works really well, on the back end as they pop out, you get a ton of testimonials and a ton of case studies.
Yep.
So then what happens is when you're marketing yourself, you no longer have to say, hey, I'm Craig Siegel. Like, this is what I've done. I've featured on Forbes and Inc. and da 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 da. You don't need to do that. You could, and that's okay. But if you go, here's my system, and this is the solution that will come into your life because you commit to the system. And by the way, here's 500 testimonials and case studies of all these people that have been a part of the system before and after, right? Oh, and by the way, I also come along with this too, and I'll hold you accountable. And here's a few things that I've done, but my system's the most important thing here because this is what you're looking for to get your result.
That's terrific. I love that.
Your customer just wants a result, bro. They want their life to be better than what it is. That's why they're coming to you. And a lot of coaches forget that. They get caught in like the glamour of being a coach. They get caught in like, you know, I've got a, you know, like they see some of these coaches in the game and they have a warped, distorted view of how the game is played. They see him and they think like, oh yeah, in their mind, they have like a 2-year perception of how quick they think things will come together. But in reality, they're focused on the presenting, how they present themselves rather than actually getting the results in the background, which actually matters the most.
Agreed, 100%.
So I would just say, bro, like really focus on your system, fine tune your system, focus on getting your people results. For you to know this at the start is a game changer, because I coach some coaches that have been in the game for 10, 15, 20 years, even longer than me. I've been in the game for 12. And even some of them don't even have a system that gets results. I'm like, how are you being getting by?
Right.
You know? And they wonder why they're doing, having to do like seasonal launches where they're just like struggling every time they do campaigns, and or they are just living off the seams of doing one-on-ones all the time, hoping that they get their next client. They haven't actually got the proper things in place, you know? So yeah, man, I'm happy you asked that question. It's really important to know this if you're a coach.
I love that. It's so deep and so valuable. And I appreciate you taking the time to answer that, Joel. Where can the audience find you? Where do you hang out the most?
Yeah, jump on Instagram. So my handle is I am Joel Brown, J-O-E-L-B-R-O-W-N. Jump on there, connect with me on there. I also just invested into a new app. It's called Yaystack, kind of like Haystack, but Yaystack. And part owner in that as well with my good friend Trey. And it's really cool, man. It's a referral app where you jump on and you refer your favorite movies, your favorite books, your favorite products, your favorite health supplements, and everything else. But the cool thing about it is it's authentic. You're not doing it in a way where you're even being sponsored by anybody. It's genuine, just like, hey, here's some cool things that I've utilized in my life that have improved my life, that have optimized my life. And I think it would be great for you if you're vibing this too.
I love that.
And Dwight Howard is the owner in it as well. We've got a ton of NBA guys jumping in. We have musicians, artists. We've got a lot of big influencers coming in that are jumping into the app now. So if you want to get a feel as to what your favorite influencers are vibing and what they use in their daily day-to-day life that's really optimized their life, then check out Yaystack. So yeah, man, that's pretty much it.
I
also have a program called Influential Coach. It's my coaching academy where I teach you all of the frameworks for transformation, where you get to learn how to actually facilitate transformation in the lives of others and how to brand and market yourself as a coach. So you just head over to iamjoelbrown.com/coach. Check it out there. We're kicking off in January in a live mastermind group.
We've
got 2 calls a week for 4 months straight. So
I love
a lot
that.
Of powerful stuff, and you get certified as a coach at the end of it all too.
It's fantastic. And I just want to say, Joel, you're an absolute juggernaut in life, and most importantly, you're a great human being, buddy. And this will not be the last time you and I collaborate, mark my words. And just surrounding myself with great people like you, I just learned so much in this conversation. So I want to say thank you. But most importantly, the audience is going to benefit a great deal, so much value. And I just want you to know that you're the definition of perseverance, grit, and heart. From your journey of being a little bit unfulfilled and then building the empire that is addicted to success from the ground up, impacting millions, I would probably say billions of lives now as a coach and a speaker. You're someone I admire, I appreciate, I can call a role model for anyone coming up. And I just want to say, keep doing your thing, my friend. You're destined for greatness and your best is still yet to come. And I really appreciate taking the time today. I learned so much.
Brother, that's so powerful. And returning the thanks a million back to you too, bro. I really appreciate you. And we're going to be sharing stages in the future. I know it.
I guarantee it. I guarantee it.
100%.
Enjoy Bali, my friend. We'll speak soon.
I will. You got to get out of here, bro.
I will. I'm going to come see you.
The world opens back up. Come out of here for sure.
I will definitely come see you. Have a great day, buddy.
Yeah, you too. Ciao.
Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow me on Instagram at CraigSiegel_CLS, the YouTube channel Craig Siegel, and our website, CultivateLastingSymphony.com, where you could sign up for our email blast with all free trainings on all of our content. The best is yet to come.